4.6 FM, or you can listen to us online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on planetaudio.org.nz/I am not ashamed of the gospel.
If you missed the last program, it's ready for you now on planetaudio.org.nz. planetaudio.org.nz.
Of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents
In the Narthex
with Father Paul Patitsis.
Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church.
And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. And assisting me today, thank God, is Presbytera Katarina. Kalimera, Presbytera.
Hello, Father Pavlos.
Kalispera.
Kalispera. I don't know if it's espera yet, but it's getting close to it.
Oh, yeah.
But we are now... ready to begin our program, and I wanted to start with a little quote from St. Tikhon of Zadansk, and then we're going to go into our regular program. St. Tikhon, who lived in the 1700s, who is a tremendous father, one of the fathers of the Church. He was born in 1724 and died, I forgot the exact year, but anyway. He was a very important leader of the Orthodox Church in Russia, and left to us a testimony called Journey to Heaven, which I'm reading today. Prayer consists not only in standing and bowing before God in body, but in reading written prayers, but even without that, it is possible to pray in mind and spirit at all times and in every place. You can do it while walking, sitting, reclining, among people, and in solitude. Raise up your mind and heart to God, and so beg mercy and help from Him. For God is everywhere and in every place, and the doors to Him are always open, and it is easy to approach Him. Not as with man, in other words, man is not so easy to approach, and we can approach Him with faith and with our prayer everywhere, and at all times, and in every need and circumstance. We can say to Him mentally at any time, Lord, have mercy, Lord, help, and so on.
Magni Parthene Vespina Achrande Theotoke.
Here in Vianney,
This song, which you're hearing now, was written by Saint Nectarios, one of the modern elders of our church, who died in 1920. He is, in other words, considered a contemporary church father and one of the miracle-working hierarchs of the 20th century, of which I only know of three. St. Nectarius, St. Luke of Simferopol, and St. John of San Francisco in Shanghai, whose icons, all of them together, are now depicted in our church, the Holy Trinity. But St. Nectarius had great love for the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, as does every saint of the church. That love is so deep. And yet, in all of that long and beautiful history of the church, we always tried to keep our love for the Virgin Mary somehow constrained by one thing, that she is always the mother of the Son of God. Meaning, she doesn't have blessings or grace separate from the Son of God, and she receives all honor as the mother of the Son of God. Now, that might seem a little difficult to comprehend, but basically I just want to say we have great love for her because her will submitted to God's will, and God became man and lived in our world. She became like a new Eve, so we can talk about her quite a bit, but that's not really the focus of our talk today. Today I just want to talk to you a little bit more about prayer and to take you to the Psalms, the book of Psalms. One of our favorite books in the church is, of course, the prayer book of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, and that is the book of Psalms.
Father Paul, why do you think that the Old Testament, especially the book of Psalms, makes it into Christianity in our time? Why do you think it...
Well, of course, every part of the Old Testament is respected, but you have to imagine that it was the prayer book of the Jews and the Hebrew people. So that when the church came into being, it didn't have to look for a prayer book. It had one already. And then, of course, it continued to grow and develop, and so it added more and more prayers. But interestingly enough, I think that's something that anybody who comes to the Orthodox Church for a little bit will understand. Our prayers sound an awful lot like the prayers of the Psalms. In fact, many times they're based exactly off of the Psalms.
They're based on the Psalms. Plus, it gives us some historical continuity, too, with where Jesus came from and how he prayed. And
yeah, that's true. There is a historical continuity. And I think that's helpful. We should rejoice in that.
Yeah, but I totally forgot that that was their prayer book. I mean, not totally forgot, but yeah.
I'm sure.
I didn't totally forget.
I'm sure you remembered, but it's good to forget when we're on the radio because then we get to ask the question so we can share with our listeners. So we're now looking at Psalm 119. You might have 120 in your Bible, and it's called the Ode of Ascents. And this is very, very helpful and very meaningful to the Jewish people because they used to say these psalms when they went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem and they wanted to enter the Holy Temple. Now, if you happen to live in Jerusalem, I suppose you didn't maybe say these psalms very much if you just happen to live there. Just like people who live in New York City don't often go to the Statue of Liberty, but if someone comes from abroad, or someone comes from another part of the United States, they're going to stop by and see the Statue of Liberty. So I suppose it's possible that there are people who lived in Jerusalem who didn't pay much attention to the temple, but I would imagine that they all paid attention to it. But anyway, the people who would come for pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem would ascend to the temple by a number of steps. Now, I don't know the number of the steps. It must be written somewhere, and I haven't researched it, but these psalms end up being 13, some say 14 in number. And a person who takes them and looks at them would understand that those who were reading them would go one step at a time. They didn't read one step and then one psalm and get all the way up to the top of the steps. They took their time. And can you imagine how beautiful that must have been if you're watching from afar and you're seeing people on the steps, all of them filling the steps, but they're going one by one. So each one maybe is on a step for a few minutes before he takes another step.
Okay, I found it. It's 15.
15 steps.
Yep.
Thank you for looking that up. So the first step was this one. To the Lord in my affliction, I cried out, and he heard me. And what an important prayer for us to read, and in this, our context today of talking about prayer. We want to know that God, as we just read this beautiful passage from St. Tikhon of Zadansk, writing in the 18th century, God is hearing us. God wants to hear us. And in this psalm, it's very specific. In mine affliction, I cried out, and he heard me. Now, if you've lived a day on this earth, maybe you're just a spoiled child, you don't experience affliction, but most of us have experienced some kind of affliction, some kind of difficulty, some kind of challenge. Sometimes they're very difficult challenges, even existential challenges, you know. But whatever challenge it might be, rejection of a friend, I don't know, a job being lost, or horrible illness, whatever thing.
There's always pain.
You mean physical pain?
Physical pain.
Yeah, physical pain too is an affliction. You know, an illness. The Lord in mine affliction, I cried out, and he heard me. So, of course, we wonder, why does God allow for suffering? And that's one of those things that we have to spend a bit of time on. But the simple answer is, God didn't intend for suffering to be in the world at all. He intended the world to be perfect, but he did allow for human freedom, and human freedom led to human sin, and human sin led to human suffering. That's the simple answer. But since there is suffering, why doesn't God take it all away then, since he's all-powerful? Well, because he respected and respects human freedom and its consequences. But therefore, since he is all-powerful, he uses the consequence, even the bad decisions of human beings, toward a good end, meaning, if we have to suffer pain because of some sin being in the world leading to illness or some sin being in us, let that affliction turn us toward God. And that way, the pain leads to gain. Forgive my little truism there. Go ahead. Say. I know Brigida always has some important thoughts on her mind, so I want to hear what you have to say today, Brigida.
Sometimes, maybe because the world is the way it is, pain can be transformative. So that's what you're saying, pain could lead to gain. And but sometimes when people struggle with something, they do give up hope, and that's a little bit difficult. And I was wondering if there are any psalms that speak to that, for when a person has lost hope in the Lord answering their prayers.
I think these psalms that we're going to look at here, and there are, as you said, 15 steps, so I assume there are 15 psalms that lead us to the up to the top. These are going to help us because they show us, first of all, how does the church and how does the Bible deal with pain? The first step is acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. We don't try to speak about it as if it doesn't exist. We acknowledge it. We even ruminate upon it a little bit. In other words, we chew it a little bit, like a cow chews its cud. We chew it and chew it, and we don't just ignore it. And if you know anything about Eastern cultures, you'll know that, and even you see that in American country music. There's and in other forms of music, of course, you see a dipping of the song into the inkwell of pain, or into the dye of pain. So the song expresses pain, and yet out of that comes great beauty many times. Some of the most beautiful songs are songs born from pain. So the church does the same thing. It says, look, let's not try to run away from the pain. Let's look at it. Let's face it. And then we're going to get to the next step and the next step and the next step. Until finally, after 15 steps, we're going to be in Jerusalem, in the temple itself. And that means that we'll be in the kingdom of heaven.
It's true. the pain is so easy to see. You're haunted by your history, and it feels like you got no escape. Your life left you high and dry.
Tell us, who is the artist singing?
That's Audrey Assad, a very young songwriter, singer, performer. And she put this together.
Well, we've had her on the radio program many, many times. Has she ever come to New Zealand? Any idea about that?
I don't know.
You know, we play a lot of nice music on this program, but I don't think too many of the artists that we play have ever come to New Zealand. We got to work on that.
Well, yeah, and we've been hoping for Josh Garrels to come.
This is my shout out to the world through the radio program. We need a Christian radio, Christian concert venue of some sort, so we can get all kinds of artists to come and let it be an ecumenical thing.
There is one that happens, yeah. I think, in Hamilton or someplace that happens every year so that people can come from all around.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but I just don't remember what it's called. Now, maybe if Malcolm Santa Dixon is listening, he can call us up and tell us what it is. He might know.
Because we got to get Audrey Assad here, and we got to get Josh Garrels and some other people. But anyway, here she's telling us about your pain is killing you, your sadness is killing you. But I'm believing in you. I'm not giving up on you. And that's important. I think if I can just say a very small but important aside, and we could spend a whole radio program, several, on just this topic. And there are other radio programs on Planet FM who talk about this topic. The mental health program that's on Planet FM is very helpful. But some people get to the point of suicidal thoughts, you know. And that's a thought where you think the pain is so great it can never end. The only way that you can make it stop hurting is to die. And it's a little bit of a deception, because certainly when we do die, our pain will cease. If we haven't invited death upon us, if we've invited death upon us, we don't know that pain will cease. It may go on forever, eternally. That would be a horrible thing. But more important than that is just that there is an end to pain. And if God is allowing pain, it's not to destroy us, it's to transform us. And again, it's a very deep topic, so just a small mention. Now let's go back to Psalm 119 here. To the Lord in my affliction I cried out, and he heard me. O Lord, deliver my soul from unjust lips and from a deceitful tongue. So we have the thought, well, maybe the thing that's bothering him most is that people are speaking ill of him. And that would be a fair understanding. But it could be something different. Let's continue. What should be given you and what added to you against the deceitful tongue? The arrows of the mighty one are sharpened with hot coals from the desert. Woe is me, my sojourning was prolonged. I dwelt with the tents of Kedar. My soul sojourned for a long time as a resident alien. With those who hate peace, I was peaceful. When I spoke to them, they made war against me without cause. Now, in the tradition of the church, we don't often think of that as just a psalm about people giving you a hard time, but as the deceitful lips of the evil one, who is trying at every effort and every opportunity to take every positive thing and give it a darker hue and to turn us away from God. You know, it's a, you know, someone says, it's a beautiful day, and someone says, yeah, but there's clouds, you know. Or, did you see that beautiful flower? Yeah, but did you see the wasps that were, you know, around it? Or, I don't know, some other positive thing, and then there's some negative thing. But the devil is very good at that. And then even when we think of a holy thought, he tries to make it negative by saying, oh, aren't you so good and holy? What a good person you are. You're so fantastic. And then when you buy into that, then the next thing you know, you're judging someone. And you're saying, that person isn't holy, not like me. And that's a deceitful tongue, in other words. The tongue of the evil one, who is trying always to separate us from God. And that's a real affliction. And something we need to guard against.
Blessed
are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed
are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek.
Blessed are they
who are hungry,
seekers
and
after righteousness,
they shall be filled.
Blessed
are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are
they shall see God.
Blessed are
the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Blessed are they
who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Theirs
is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are ye.
Blessed are ye when they shall revile you, when persecuted, and shall say all manner of evil against you.
So this is another song that's so helpful. Presidenta, thank you for choosing it, because here we said, in mine affliction, I cried out, and he heard me. So we have to get to that point of feeling poor in spirit so that we can call out to God and be heard by him, and then we become blessed. So I know it's in our culture, that is to say in Western culture, try to always avoid pain, try and mitigate pain, perhaps eliminate pain, but perhaps that's just not possible. Perhaps no matter what we do, there will still be human pain. So rather than always trying to run away from it, maybe what we have to do is to face it and count it a blessing and see where it leads. So I hope that doesn't sound like a platitude to you. It's not meant to be. I had spoken from my own struggles and pain, which I have on occasion. So let's continue now to the next ode of ascent, Psalm 120 in my Septuagint Bible, 121 if you have a King James-based Bible. I lifted up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now here he is, this person, walking up the steps to the temple. And he says, I lifted up my eyes to the mountains. Yes, there are mountains around Jerusalem he might be looking at, but he might also be making a reference to the temple itself. Because It's a mountain. That beautiful temple, that place of worship, is an unshakable mountain. And you say, well, yes, but it's been destroyed and there's only ruins there now, so it's not quite the mountain you thought, Father Paul. But don't forget, the mountain of the temple exists in heaven forever. And in some ways, again, we spoke earlier about the Virgin Mary. In some ways, the Virgin Mary is that ever-existing temple, that mountain, because she held the incarnate God within her womb, something that the temple on earth never did. So we lift up our eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. If we lift up our eyes to the temple and we're looking up, if we're looking toward God, our help's going to come. It's going to come from the Lord. And who is that Lord? It says here, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let not your foot be moved, neither let him who keeps you slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I think that's another helpful passage for today, because in New Zealand, if you're listening in New Zealand, you know this already, but if you're not, then you should be reminded. We're in summer, and it's summer vacation. Some of us are on summer vacation. So we need to know that God never goes on vacation. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. And it might be good for us to remember that, because sometimes we're slumbering. Sometimes we're sleeping. Sometimes we're forgetting about God. But he doesn't forget about you. And he's always waiting for you. So as you make that ascent to the temple, try to remember that there's someone waiting for you there, and someone who's going to assist you on your journey. Look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I believe the mountains move. I have faith. I will be.